This is Scott Owen with the Asheville FM News Team, and I'm here this afternoon with Amy Cantrell and Pancho Bermejo. Thank you for being here with us today. You all have been working on the tiny house village, chopping up the bamboo forest here. You're going to show me around a little bit?
Okay, we're going to give you a grand tour, but it's been a beautiful work of love. And so one of the action pieces of our village, we have four pillars: deeply affordable, community oriented, sustainable, and produces equity for the residents. So because we are committed to sustainability, we said we're not gonna clear cut and then just sort of flat grade and pour slab on grade, which is much cheaper. But we said we want to really honor all our value system. And so we know what's good for the earth is good for the people of the earth. And so we're doing what's called a low impact grade. So we have people who are coming in and doing hand work to clear this forest. And we have Danny Dumpsters who's helping us compost. And some of the bamboo we're able to reuse in different pieces of the infrastructure or send it out for reuse. So we're trying to really honor the land here every time that we come. And so it's a very enchanted place we love. And so, Pancho, I wonder if you want to say more about what folks have been doing today.
Well, this is a very delicate and wonderful way to do this project, to come in all hands-on work, and everybody gets to know the area that way.
So today came like maybe 20 youth, so for us it was very important to teach today, and then we are the people. Then we need to believe that we are the people, and then not be like a lot of the people that is waiting for 2020. Then we need to start thinking, then we need to start being the change today and not waiting for who is going to be the next president, and start thinking that we can make a change and an impact in our own community. We decide and we came together and we start doing the right things for the community, because we already know all the struggles that is going on. So we need to start doing something about it and start helping the community. And like I was explaining to the kids, then a lot of us have different privileges, and we need to start using this privilege for good and helping people that don't have the same privilege than us. So for us, it was a big day, a work day, only a big day in the idea of we was teaching youth a new way to live, then it's community living. Then a lot of times, they're not gonna receive this kind of education in the school, so we need to start teaching our kids about how it look like living community and help our community and take care of our community and about our land too. So yeah, having very powerful to see all the youth, and they were listening all the stuff that we were saying and explaining why we are doing this, because we have a deep belief in them. Like I say, then we are the people, and the community is the answer almost to every answer. Like, you care about your neighbor always gonna have somebody that is gonna be ready to help them. And the same way that your neighbor is gonna take care of you when you need the help. So it's this belief then came from the old time. So this is nothing new. This is belief then our ancestors used to have, this belief. Then we need to take care of the people that is around us, because if you are here, like I have pain too, so we must take care of the land, and we must take care of our neighbor too, because it's the right thing to do, and we hope then the land and the neighbors take care of us too.
I love the way, Pancho, that you say that this is nothing new. Mm-hmm. This is the way that people have taken care of themselves and each other, mm-hmm, for a very long time. They just go out and they would build and create something together.
We have in a community center that we have in downtown, and we have a big pain that is from the Mayans. So the pain, say, something that is in the original language of Mexico, one of the original languages in Mexico, that is the Nahuatl. So the meaning of this big pain and this phrase then say there is, you are my other self. Then for me is the big meaning of community, then the indigenous people teach us. Then it's like, if I take care of you, I'm taking care of myself, because you are part of me, because we are coexisting in this little space, in this little part of the planet. So if I take care of you, I'm taking care of my own self. Then I say this is the complete meaning of community. And today was the perfect example how we came together, we can start dreaming bigger than us. Like, because we always say, like, this project is a build up project, only we always hope that the community came together. Then we are only the glue of the community for they to came and see the power that they have. If we came together and start building our own housing, and in different way than is basing community more than basing storage people in different buildings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very ancient Like you were saying, this is nothing new. It's a very ancient way that we're trying to practice. And so many of our modern practices are actually really harmful to us and to the land. And so as we begin to go back, really, and have an ancient future, as it were, we began to create something really new and surprising. And to be able to say, we can create housing communities, that mm-hmm. we can create new ways of living together in a city that we're finding where not a lot of people are able to live. And we have lots of people that are living through this housing crisis and just wanna find home and be at home here. Local people, people of color that have been here for generations, you know, people on the street, elders. We have so many people that are directly impacted by the housing crisis. And what we kept hearing is not only do people want walls and a roof, but they want something more. They're longing for something more,
thank
which
you
we
for,
call home and village and community. And so that's a very ancient way that we've lost through capitalism, we've lost through white supremacy. And so really one of the things that this really opens up is a space for healing in so many ways, to heal the ways that we've harmed the earth and each other, and to return to a way that is much healthier and more whole for all of us, which is just community.
Thank you so much for saying something about that, because I think when a lot of people, they think of a tiny home village, mostly the first thing that comes to their mind are the houses,
yes.
the little houses.
Yes.
But there seems to be a chronic problem in our country and maybe in the whole world these days, where we've become over-industrialized, where I think there's a chronic loneliness
Absolutely.
That exists. And so we don't just have people on the street without shelter, but we also have people on the street without community. And so
Right.
the homeless village has, even though you haven't started on the houses, it sounds like the village has already...
The village is already here. That's exactly right. And we create village every time that we come here. And we come here, you know, as people from all walks of life.
Well, it's absolutely gorgeous here in this little bamboo forest. Let's take a walk down the trail and look at some of what you've done here. And tell me about the vision as we go. I mean, creating community. But let's do hear about the... what your plans are as far as the homes that you're
really
going to create.
An intentional plan around village. Like, what does it mean to have a village? And so today is really exciting. We've had multiple work days, but today for the first time, we've sort of opened up the space in the midst of this beautiful enchanted forest where the village is going to start to sort of emerge together. And we've been on this land a lot. We've spent a lot of time here, and every time that we come here, we do a blessing with the land, because we believe it's significant that we are living in a rhythm, and that as a village that we are part of the land, the neighborhood, and then our greater city and world. And so how do we start practicing that? And even the design, as we sat and designed this village with people most impacted by the housing crisis here, it really emerged that you know, what we heard is, I can't afford affordable housing. And we heard the kind of housing that we're being put into is not the kind of housing that we want, and many of us are being pushed out. And so we kept hearing that over and over from different groups of people, and so what emerged and that what do we want is we want community. We want a space where we have neighbors that really love each other. We have space where we can make gardens together and grow our own food. And so we really began to say, what does that look like? So these are 440 square feet micro homes. So they're on the large side of tiny home. They are permanent, which is a big thing. We knew one of the things that we tried to solve in this was, how do we get to deeply affordable housing that is permanently affordable, which is one of our big problems in Asheville. As much of the affordable housing here is being built at 80% area median income, and
right.
once in a while we'll get to 60%. And a lot of it sunsets out at 10 or 15 years, so we lose those units. So we're thousands and thousands and thousands of units shy of what we need right now. And then as we build, we're losing those units almost as quickly as we build them.
So a lot of people would think of this as just a transient, like kind of a way station for people who are between homes or something.
This is a permanent village, and that's really was a significant thing that we really looked at what was going on in Asheville and how do we really look at what's not happening here, what's missing in terms of the housing crisis. So one of the things was, you know, we didn't have anything really being built in that gap where people are making about 30% of area median income. This is your full-time minimum wage workers making $15,080 a year, and other folks that are disabled or elders who are living, you know, on even $12,000 a year, some of them. And so we thought, how do we build housing in that gap? And then how do we begin to really think about sustainable human community and sustainable ecological practices? And you know, as soon as you start doing sustainability work, you immediately get to the deeply affordable part on the utilities end. So there was a lot of magic. And there's thunderous applause.
Yes, out here in nature, aren't we?
Yeah. So we really began to look at that puzzle. And one of the things that we developed was, you know, everybody needs a front porch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we need to have permanent homes with kitchens and bathrooms and the things that make one feel at home. And also that the residents are going to create their commons. Because one of the things that we heard from lots of people was we want to really connect with the people that we live around. We want to live around people we love, and we want to support each other and spend time together. And so spaces where we can really have people come together and enjoy time together. So there'll also be a boardwalk that joins every home together in the village. So visibly, you can see that it's a cohesive village. It's a community. It's not just houses that we sort of flunked in here.